This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here tonight to talk about the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 10. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and luckily, I was not a bad boy tonight. So we got some HOH results in an eviction episode for Big Brother Canada, and I'm excited about that. We'll talk about how excited we are about the result, though, as we run through the episode. With me tonight to talk through it all is my big brother partner in crime. It's Melissa Denny. How you doing, Melissa? Oh man, I think the music broke her. Luckily, we had music to cover the fact that Melissa just froze. So we'll come back to Melissa. And also with me tonight is a man who is losing his mind over here. I was expecting him to show up with alien nipples, but that has not happened. It's Mike Bloom. How you doing, Mike?
Wait just until we get to the spoiler section, Taryn. But actually, if we could just get serious for a second, I do have something I want to do. Taryn, I've been listening to your updates for years. This is where we met. Podcast. I want you in my ears every day.
Oh my God.
For the rest of my life. Taryn, will you be my podcast husband?
Oh my God. Yes. Yes, of course, Mike.
Yay.
Now, this is fantastic because Geneva and Melissa are playing the role of the BB Can 10 house guests. They're little like faces in the corner.
Well, I should have just been like,
I should have pulled Mike up on the screen.
Yeah. I just have everyone react. Like... You hear that, internet? I got to him first, okay? He's mine.
Yeah, you're all right. Be well, for that.
Man, what a historic moment on the RHAP podcast. So glad we got that in. Also with me tonight is Geneva. How you doing, Geneva?
I'm doing great, Taryn. This episode was an unexpected surprise. I was very, very excited about it. My favorite BB showmance finally got engaged. So very excited to talk about that and also the stuff with the eviction. So,
yes. All right. Let's do a take two on Melissa, who I believe is no longer frozen, but still Squid Gamey. How you doing, Melissa?
Yeah. You kicked me off with that. It was spooky. You like the second you press play, it was like all the screens started just spinning, like black screens. I was like, okay.
Is that all you could hear? Just the music and just
literally spinning. Heard the music, and then I saw the spinning black screens, and I was like, how did Taryn do this? And then I was like, oh, okay. I think it's just my internet.
I mean, listen. Finally, the Mr. Robot comparisons like bear fruit, right? Taryn has hacked her computer and just shut everything down with the Squid
terrifying.
Game music.
Very scary. Man. So great. Good way to start the pod.
Well, before the eviction tonight, Arissa had tweeted out like, this is a can't miss episode of Big Brother Canada. And people are like, what? Did Jay somehow stay? Is there a wild HOH result? What's happening? But I think what she's referring to is that what we saw was Aika and Dimitri are going to get engaged on the episode. Headline.
I mean, we got to talk about the timeline on this, though, because I'm so intrigued by this, because there is precedent for it, is it not? Right. We, of course, had the infamous G-Jo, Jeff and Jordan proposal during Big Brother 16 out in the backyard while Cody was dressed as a dinosaur. Then we had the, of course, Nicole Victor proposal during BB 19, 20? I think it was 20, right?
20, was it 20 or 21?
I feel like it was, no, it couldn't have been 21, because I know like Danny Briones Donato was on there, and I feel like,
yes.
I don't know if it would have been the year before she went on, but it's happened a couple times, but this was a little bit of an exception considering this happened before the season, and so while we did sort of mock the kind of picture-in-picture aspect of the BB Can 10 house guests reacting, they at least avoided the awkwardness of like, hey, people I don't know, but who know me, please let me lay these rose petals down the staircase for my sweetie.
Yeah, I'm very glad they didn't involve the house guests, because I feel like that's just like, it feels uncomfortable. It's like a proposal is like, I mean, even though it's like a private moment, even though it's like broadcast to everyone in Canada, but it's still, it's like their private moment together. Like there's not just a bunch of like house guests that they don't know just staring at them. I thought it was so cute. I loved it. Well, earlier, I saw on Twitter that Arissa tweeted that out. And then I also saw Jamar tweeted that out, like tweeted out, like, don't miss this episode. And so I thought like he was going to be like, my first thought was like, oh, he must be the Wendy's guy this episode. And then what? I was like, oh, wait, what? There's no Wendy's situation.
If Big Brother Canada decided to make Jamar the Wendy's
and
person,
I was like,
like,
I don't think they'll bring Jamar back for that, but I don't know. So it was very odd. And I was like questioning, like, what is happening? And then I saw Arissa tweet that out. And so I thought maybe they're bringing back past house guests or something. And then, you know, they did, but for another reason. So I thought it was just so cute. I loved it so much. I was like sitting there like, oh, I had the hugest smile on my face, happy tears. It was adorable. I was really worried though that she was going to like slip on those rose petals. Like I thought she wasn't going to notice them, and she's wearing those high heels, and I thought she was just going to like walk down the stairs like, and this is where I blah, blah, and then just like slip. And so I was like,
yeah. And they've been sitting on that footage for weeks, ready to reveal that, yes, we actually have injured Aiko.
Yeah, we actually hurt her.
Then it turns from BB Can into America's Funniest Home Videos as we see Aiko fall down the stairs during
and the house guys are like, ah!
That'd be so
That's
sad.
Why they got the picture in picture, was to see like Marty rollicking, raffling all over the floor, laughing at Micah falling down the stairs.
Yeah. If the house guests weren't giving them what they wanted from the picture in picture, they should have just like let them not be in that. I don't know. I feel like the reactions were just kind of like very muted and like, who are these people?
Like, I get wanting to include them in the episodes, their season, but at the same time, it's like, if this is a sort of like a historic moment on Big Brother, right? And so, if you go back, if you watch the clip of Aika and Dimitri's like, you just finished watching BB Can 5 and you're like, oh, I wonder what happened to Aika and Dimitri's. And you look it up and like, oh, they got engaged on the show a few years later. That's so awesome. You look up the clip and in the corner is just a bunch of people like.
Yeah. Like, it's not like they're sitting there smiling or crying or something. They were just standing there like,
like, okay, this is
yeah,
the
like,
thing.
Okay. Hi.
Yeah. It was interesting for me because, I actually do kind of follow along with Aika and Dem on social media. I watched their YouTube channel and they hadn't posted anything in a couple weeks. They hadn't posted anything on Instagram in a bit. So I was a little like skeptical. I'm like, what is going on with them? I know that they were still together because it looked like they had like there's a surprise party for Dem the other day and the IG stories. So I was like, okay. You know, Arissa tweeted this and then there is mention of a BB Can couple. So I was like, and then when she said BB Can 5, I was like, it's Aika and Dem. So I was very, very excited about it. Especially considering, so they've been keeping the secret, I guess, for quite some time. Especially considering they shot this beforehand, which I appreciate they kind of did that not while everyone was in the house. I just feel like it would have been awkward, kind of like the other engagements we've seen that have happened around a lot of the house guests.
Now, I know people are complaining, right? Like, where is the door for Betty? But from my standards, we got a door open, right? Dimitri's was behind door number 18. That twist has been revealed. We had our door open for this week. So I'm sorry,
that's,
Betty.
Yeah, that's sufficient. I wish they had, it would have been really cute if on like the big like screen in the living room, they had shown like past moments of like the two of them together and then had him come out or something. Like that would have been really cute. I'll just plan the next proposal. It's fine. I just thought, it was so cute. Although when she said, like, oh, there's wedding bells for a Big Brother couple, I think you probably already know who it is. Like, I thought it was Kevin and Peely because they just got married and like last year. I think it was like, I think the same
the fact that they have already gotten married, I think was, I was like, no, but oh, I thought it was like
they
would,
I thought they were just going to like show a few clips of like their wedding or something. I don't know. I for like whatever reason, I thought, I don't know. Like when you hear like wedding bells for someone, you assume like a wedding, not an engagement. I don't know.
No, I agree. I wasn't thinking of that either. I was kind of like, okay, so is someone getting married in the BB camp?
Married.
So that's
yeah.
why I didn't necessarily think it was Ike and Dem for a moment. I was like, no, I figured they're probably going to do like, I don't know, a full on wedding and everything. And, you know, they're probably also going to put vlogs and stuff related to their YouTube channel, I figured. And so I didn't really connect the dots until she said BB Can 5, because I was like, otherwise, I doubt they would get married in the house.
That'd be interesting if they're like, hey, last year, like, here's what you missed in the year that we were away. I mean, I know people also think this is a little random, but let's remember that this is the first like authentic eviction show, because they had so much crap crammed into last Thursday's show that like this is the first time they had some room to do something. So I think it does make sense if it's something that they did beforehand, unless maybe the entire season we're going to do in honor of BB Can 10. We just do like check-ins periodically with various contestants like we used to do. Remember back in like the early seasons of BB when they're like, oh, BB 14, let's see how the Brigade is feeling about how Britney's doing in this season. Or I remember in like BB 3, they said, oh, let's check in on some of the fan favorites from BB 2. It would be fun if they did that, if they need time to pad out during an eviction show.
I always like that. I mean, that's sort of why I do the Taran show to some degree, is like how has this person been doing since the show? Like, let's check in with them. So I loved when they did that, especially because they'd always like throw back, like when they checked back in Big Brother 4 to Big Brother 3, and they were like, here's Amy. She was given a lifetime supply of cheese after Big Brother. Like, there's always like some weird stuff that happens. It's great. It's great stuff. was I the only person also that like when the segment ended, like, cause she says yes, and the segment, I was expecting to like a cut to Ike in the diary room. Like,
oh,
so I was walking down the stairs. Oh my God.
I had no idea.
So and in this engagement, I walk down the stairs and I have to be proposed to by Dimitri.
I felt like something was missing. I don't know what it was, but it was like, and that's also the thing I was wondering, maybe they could have maybe just, you know, excluded the house guest completely, but showed us like it, like the basically what happened. And then we could have heard like Ika's thoughts and everything like that. I think maybe that could have been, you know, a better alternative, because obviously the faces weren't given us much. So. But we could have still gotten kind of the content, or they could have showed us some of those sorts of flashbacks between them. So
so cute to have the flashbacks between them. So that way you also like get the context of like, oh, they first meet here. Like this is their first meeting. And then like, oh, they're starting to connect. Oh, yeah, they kiss. So that like, way, oh, you know,
Moose can watch it and he's like, oh, okay, that's who they are.
Here's an idea, Ike and Dimitri's, for the YouTube channel is put together a video with some clips from your history. Watch this segment, do some commentary over it like you're giving diary rooms, explaining the situation, how you felt. I feel like that would be very fun.
I'm really excited for Dimitri to read his vows, where he just goes, I name, you take you.
Insert name.
My first proposal is... And that's the only one. There's not two of them.
When I turn this ring, my first proposal.
And I love Ika to be like, Dimitri, like, oh, I wrote you a letter, Ika, for our vows. And she just shreds it right there, throws it in the air like confetti.
She walks down the stairs. He's like, I want to be in your life forever. So what we're going to do is we're going to spin this wheel. And I really hope it lands on you.
please.
Wheel.
Oh house guest choice. Thank God.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I choose you. We're good.
Oh boy. We saw Ike and Dimitri's, beyond that. And I think this was a pretty good episode for this to land on because the campaigning was very straightforward. Mm-hmm. It always irks me when we see like a ton of fruitless campaigning that never mattered. And it's like a big focus of like, oh, is it gonna work? Like, mm-hmm. No, it's not. But we did see some good stuff as well, I think, in the episode, with the strat. We had a little bit of drama, some fallout from Betty being nominated, blindsided in the replacement I keep calling it the replacement nominee ceremony, in the veto ceremony. That's what happens when the veto actually gets used. You start thinking of it as the replacement ceremony.
Yeah. Very rare.
Betty is not happy because she was told to kick her feet up.
That line.
Who tells people to kick their feet up and then nominates them?
And then makes them put their feet down.
Who? Marty.
My feet were up. I was not, my feet were not connected to the ground when this happened.
Now, to be fair, Jay did pick their feet up as they were walking out the door on their hands. So technically they were doing it as well. Yeah. Maybe that's what Marty was saying. Like, oh, you should headstand on your way out the house because I am nominating you.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. I really enjoy watching Marty only because like he looks like a Canadian Adam Pock. So I call him Adam Quebecois. To see like the flashback from 10 years ago.
Wow. That's
oh, boy.
Yeah. You'll see how much he talks. He loves Canadian bacon, right? And Tory Spelling.
Oh, God.
Yes. Well, Betty is upset. She's upset because she was told to kick her feet up and she's mad at Marty. But then she realizes, hold on. You know, I bet knew? That slimy Kevin. I bet he knew this was going to happen. He was having a beer with Marty the night before. And she's gonna be in the bathroom and Kevin's gonna come up and be like, hey, I'm so no, Kevin, I hate you. You're a bad person and outside of the game. And I want nothing to do with you ever again. Life. Thank you. Have a great life. And he's like, look, I get that you're no, I don't want to speak to you. Okay, well, when you're ready, I will never be ready. Have a good life, Kevin. Okay, yes, I'll
Betty,
leave.
You're on the block. What are you doing?
It's also so funny because I like when I saw this happen on the feeds, it was like we didn't get full context.
It was just the tail end of it.
It was just the end of the conversation, and I was like, oh my God, what just happened? Like, you know, it's so unfair. We didn't get to see what actually happened here, like why she was so upset with him, how this argument, you know, got started. So I was excited to see it on the episode today. Like, okay, we can finally figure out what happened here. What's the full context? Turns out there's no context. She just said that stuff to him and that's that. Like, it wasn't like she just was like, he said something to her and she got mad or something, or he like indicated to her that it was, you know, sorry, I had to do what I had to do or anything like that. It literally was just, she just said that to him. Like from her own mind, she just assumed that he is the reason why she's on the block, wouldn't give him a chance to explain himself and was just like, all right, no, you're done. You're done.
You act like you don't know what you're doing and you use slimy tactics to put good people in bad positions.
This was everything though. I agree that like I usually hate the trope, right? Of like, we are the good people, they are the bad people. It's essential when it comes to in-house psychology, but like terrible from an outsider perspective because you're almost always wrong. But at the same time, I loved how extra it was that here she is so just standing here and here slithers in Kevin on his way to relieve himself of his sinful urine. How dare he pee in the same toilet as the good people in the house? And here she is just saying, like, and also like very much clarifying, just so we're aware, I am talking about how you are a bad person outside of the game. I know you probably think it's just a bad thing inside the game, but no, you are actually a very bad person. It was just so over the top that I couldn't help but laugh at it. Also, due to the fact that Kevin, because he was understandably so flummoxed, I think for a half second forgot to go to the bathroom and
he goes to leave. He's like, oh, wait, I needed to go to the bathroom. So he goes to the bathroom and then he's like, well, I also now need to wash my hands.
We can't have a Jerry situation, right?
Like, I thought she was going to say something else to him because she like looks at him like, what are you doing? Why are you still here? And it's like, okay, he just needs to wash his hands. Oh,
I mean, in a way, that was kind of like, I don't think it was intentional, kind of a power move to be like, well, I'm still going to do my business in here. Mm. You don't own the bathroom.
She's just still blow drying her hair, just like...
But at the same time, like, it's also was a must-do thing, right? Because, you know, if Kevin doesn't wash his hands, Betty goes, house meeting! Yeah, I saw
this guy.
Kevin walk out of the bathroom with those forked devil-like hands of his and refused to wash them, and he handles our food.
He was slithering out of the bathroom.
Going to slither through.
Oh, man.
She handled, like, as, like, entertaining as that sort of thing is, like, she just has handled her whole nomination so horribly. I mean, first, like, this Kevin thing, and then, you know, confronting Marty about it. Look, and I get she's not wrong. Like, obviously, he shouldn't have told her to kick her feet up and then nominate her without telling her and blindsiding her and all that stuff. Like, Marty didn't play that right at all, obviously. And she, you know, she's also not wrong in that, like, Kevin talking to Marty had some sort of impact and made him, you know, decide he didn't want to nominate Kevin. I mean, it's not like Kevin necessarily threw Betty under the bus, but she doesn't know that. So like all this stuff is like, she's not wrong, but it's just so poorly handled. If you're on the block, your life is in their hands. You're supposed to, you know, be like, it's okay. You know, obviously I wish you would have told me, you know, blah, 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 but like, I get it. It's okay. But instead, she's just extremely hostile to everyone. And it's like, that is not like, that is absolutely what could turn someone to be like, well, I wasn't going to vote you out, but now I know you don't like me at all and you're mad at me. So why would I keep someone like that in the house? Okay, you're gone. And yeah. it just is as easy as that to turn the tides.
I agree. It's kind of bad gameplay. And it's like, even though it was from an entertaining, it was entertaining from, you know, in some aspects, but I was just like, you can't close off people when you're already worried about having votes in this game. Mm-hmm. You were already complaining to Marty about, oh, I'm not safe, even though Marty kept, you know, reassuring Betty, no, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Jay's the target. And then you're just like, I'm never going to talk to you again. Like, I just don't understand. Like, if you need these votes and you are really concerned about your safety, don't close off people. Maybe if you, you know, get into power, become HOH, and then maybe you could decide that you want to say these sorts of things. But I feel like even so, like, you know, I think there's a way to kind of just communicate, just have a conversation about it. Be like, what happened? What went down? And I get it. It was surprising. I mean, Betty did get blindsided, but I just still feel like, you know, she could have handled it a bit better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the conversation with Marty is like unstoppable force meets a movable object, right? Where we have like a literal Frenchie in the form of Marty in terms of like all the nominations he's done and surprises he's made. And Betty's like, can you just apologize for lying to me? And he goes, no, I'm not going to. But then Betty makes this argument, right? Of like, why did you put, you know, me up instead of Kevin? And essentially proving the point as to why she was nominated, says she would have voted out Kevin over Jay when Marty.
I hate him. I would vote him out in a heartbeat.
Yeah, when Marty says, well, the point was to nominate someone who would not get votes against Jay. And Betty's like, well, you shouldn't have nominated me because I would have voted against the person that's not Jay if they were on the block.
Yeah.
They, I believe the announcer in the recap, in the sort of like the end of the recap called her Petty Betty in preparation for the episode, which I thought was a fun little way to add some additional elements to her name there.
I feel like this whole Betty thing could have been such a good in for Jay to find a way to stay. I feel like he didn't quite use it, but I think it could have been used to his advantage to be like, look, like Betty's super pissed at you, Marty. Betty's not talking to you, Kevin. Like, I will work with you guys. I was upset that I was nominated, but, you know, I understand, you know, blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't you want to have someone on your side, et cetera, et cetera. And kind of like convince, maybe first convince Marty and then kind of let it go from there. I think that if Betty had kind of kept it up and Jay had kind of used that, he absolutely could have stayed this week. But you know, it didn't play out that way.
Yeah, we're going to see Jay make some attempts at campaigning. In particular, we see a conversation they had with Josh, talking through their options for different methods that they could use to campaign. And there were a lot of those discussions, much more of those discussions than actual attempts at campaigning, unfortunately. Mm. And they really did not capitalize on this moment where Betty was really just like, not having it, making enemies. And Jay was still just like out there socializing, being nice. Cause at this point they're used to the fact that they've been nominated. That was their opportunity to really get in there and be like, see how pissed Betty is at you right now? Mm-hmm. I'm chill. I'm cool with it now. I get it. Betty does not get it. By the time they actually started doing something, Betty had cooled down and she had talked with Kevin again. And it wasn't quite as bad as it seemed. I do respect that Jay tried and they really did think very hard about like how they were going to attempt it. They didn't have the know-how of like where to go and what to do exactly. And how much they should be doing, which is kind of what led them to this point in the first place. So
now that being said, if you're talking about contentiousness and cooling down, are you surprised and or saddened by the fact that we did not get the Kyle J stuff in any of this week's content?
I am not surprised whatsoever. I was not expecting a Kyle J interaction altercation on the episodes at all. If you don't know what we're talking about, on the live feed updates, we did an explanation of it. I think it was, was it Sunday?
It was on the Sunday recap of the feeds on Monday, I think. Whatever it was with Amon.
Whichever one Amon was on. There was basically, an interaction between Jay and Kyle where Jay said that they were coming for Kyle and the bros, and there was some sort of miscommunication that happened. Which led to some controversial stuff going on. And Big Brother Canada, not a fan of controversy. The feeds were cut for a long time. They were not going to touch this with a 6-foot pole. Like this was not, socially distanced wasn't going to be enough.
I thought they would include the pantry conversation and then like the afterwards, like confrontation, like in the HOH room, without including any of like right before they come.
I think the problem with that is that it's too specifically removing the controversial elements, whereas if they leave it entirely off the table, it's not that they specifically picked out the controversial parts. It's like, oh no, that just wasn't relevant to the story, so we didn't include it.
But I feel like the only problem with that, there's lots of problems with it, but like the part of the problem with that is that it doesn't explain why Jay is gone. Like I feel like the entire episode was leading to Betty being voted out because I felt like everybody was saying like, well, Jay's a bigger target. He's better for my game, but maybe I'll keep Betty. And it was just like, there wasn't any reasoning behind like, I'll keep Betty aside from like the man Dems, which apparently like, it's not man down. It's man.
Yeah.
Dems.
Yeah.
Guess we've all been wrong on that one.
I've always been confused about it. I've always been like, what is it exactly?
Yeah. And someone said it in the chat yesterday saying like, or on Tuesday saying like, it's man Dem, I think. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. But apparently that's what it is, and we were wrong. So whoever was in the chat saying that, sorry about that.
Yeah, I think it's par for the course that we don't get the full story and we don't like fully comprehend why a thing happened on Big Brother Canada. I mean, getting anything remotely accurate is always, like, woo, wow,
we'll talk about
they actually
the
said something that's, oh. Yeah.
Or do little hand signals in the DR, like you're washing your hands.
Yeah, like everyone's doing hand signals at this point. It's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, it's odd. It's almost like they're doing their own inside jokes, knowing that like we didn't see the first 6 days of feeds, right? They're just messing with us of like, let's just come up with a bunch of kooky gestures that don't mean anything so that when the feeds do turn back on, it's going to drive people absolutely loco.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
So that was a lot of the campaign. We also did get to see some more Summer, which was great. It almost feels like they heard us. They were like, all right, we get it. You want more Summer. We saw Summer talking with Kevin after the Betty altercation. And so we had to go to church, just being very fun. And then we also got a setup of her and Tanisha, Summer and Tanisha. They are a duo. And Tanisha is very much, into Summer and feels like she's made a best friend, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that it was nice, seeing, I like when they highlight different people. I do hope that they like highlight different people each episode. I feel like we just had like a Marty episode. Now we have a Summer episode, and I hope they like continue highlighting different people instead of just focusing on like, oh, this person's a main character. Like, let's just only focus on, you know, whatever this person's doing. I do like the idea of like getting to know everybody and making sure that like the audience knows everybody.
It's tough because that's Big Brother, though, right? One of the things I always think about is how Steve Moses was not a part of Big Brother 17 mm-hmm. for the first 3 or 4 weeks. And then when he comes back in, he's like, man, that Becky sucks. And so we're like, who is that guy? And so it is tough, especially when you're editing on the fly, as opposed to something like Survivor, where I think we can take certainly more scrutiny as to like, who's the main character, who are the supporting characters. It mm-hmm. may change on the fly, obviously, like when you're HOH and when you're nominated. But I like these moments of flavor, and I love Summer. I'll have what she's having because she is just like absolutely carving through this house with a knife. I do want her to see a chiropractor because it does seem like she likes to crook her neck every time she's in the DR for whatever reason. But I absolutely love the energy that she's bringing. And you never know, you know, the whole impetus of her coming onto the show to spite somebody is iconic, but you never know if that crashes and burns and leads to her being like, I don't really care about this. This was not worth the revenge. But like, it seems like she's having a good time. Maybe part of that is Tanisha, or part of that is just like her really living for whatever energy this house is bringing for her.
Yeah, I definitely love seeing their relationship. I think especially, I just love seeing Summer's relationships with everybody, actually, specifically, and seeing kind of like how she's a bit different with everybody. But, you know, you still kind of see that general like flair and personality. And, you know, they really were able to connect, you know, with Tanisha's daughter. Even though her daughter wasn't physically there. And so like, it seemed like Tanisha really had that great appreciation for Summer throughout their conversation, and, you know, feels that bond beyond the house, which I think is special when people are able to make those sorts of connections. Like, even like, you know, as we know, Ike and Dem, they were able to make that connection, and now they're getting engaged, you know?
Are you saying there's a proposal going to be coming, BBCan 11?
I don't know. Maybe there could be one. Ooh. I'm not sure. you know, expect the unexpected as Big Brother. But yeah, no, I think it's been great to start to see some of those relationships a bit more, and, you know, the BB highlighting them aside from obviously the general game aspects that we see with the HOH and stuff.
We also got to see, and I was hoping we would see this on the episode. Now, obviously, there were a couple of things that we could have seen from Jay. They did orchestrate a fashion show, but we did not see the fashion show in Big Brother Canada 9, and it seems as though we may not see it in Big Brother Canada 10 either. But what we did see, and I'm glad we saw this instead, personally, if it was a choice between the two, is Jay talking about smudging, which was a really nice moment that they had. And You know, this is what I feel like Big Brother Canada does well, which is that they really do allow the diversity of their cast to shine express themselves. And I'm glad that we got this from Jay before they did have to go. And I'm sad to see Jay go, so early, because I do think that they had some potential here in the game. And I really liked what they brought to the show. But this is such a beautiful moment, Geneva.
Yeah. And I think one thing I was also, you know, grateful for was how receptive everyone's, you know, seemed to, the smudging, especially because I feel like everyone's coming from a variety of different backgrounds and experiences and aren't necessarily, you know, familiar with, especially, you know, maybe certain traditions of the Indigenous community. So it was definitely really special to kind of learn a bit more about Jay and like how they connect to their culture, especially as someone who identifies as Indigenous, but doesn't necessarily outwardly appear to be Indigenous to other people. So it was very, I think, special to kind of hear what they get out of the process. And, it was beautiful to see how people were still touched and affected by it. Like Jess, they were pretty affected and emotional and, you know, drawn to this situation. And just hearing, I feel like Jay describing everything that was going on and how connecting to the creator, connecting back to earth, sharing this experience with the house guests, it was really great to see. And, you know, I feel like it's sad that in a sense we kind of saw it as a way of Jay leaving the game, but I'm glad that we did get to see it.
Yeah, it was incredible representation. And I'm so glad that, like you mentioned, Taryn, I feel like even going back to something like Damien, you know, several seasons ago, mm-hmm. right, actually taking the moment to talk about the fact that, you know, we're Americans talking, but Canada is not necessarily without its own blemishes and its own personal history, including the rights of, you know, the First Nations and Indigenous people. And so I'm really happy that Jay is able to represent that and showcase that. I think it is possible to not be a good player at Big Brother, but be a good person. In fact, sometimes those go hand in hand. And I truly do feel that way about Jay as well, that you can certainly feel like, damn it, you had so much potential. We were all rooting for you. But they have these moments where they're able to really highlight kind of like what got them on the show in the first place, you know, and especially knowing that that's what they do in their day-to-day lives. That is something that they live and breathe. I really enjoyed seeing it. It's something that draws me, and I'm sure so many of us, to reality TV in the first place, right? I can remember back in Big Brother 6 where Kacer takes a second to get down on his prayer rug. And that was post 9/11, where I think there was a lot of fear and stigmatization of Muslim people. And so to see someone just like plucked out of normal everyday life on a show that I enjoy, representing that lifestyle that I, as a white person, am not used to, it's just a fantastic way to like open your eyes and truly look at people as people, because we're all people.
Yeah. It's awesome stuff. And Jay had mentioned that they wanted to use their speech as well, the eviction speech, to bring some more light to some issues that you know, women and Indigenous people face. And so getting to see them do that, I thought was awesome as well. Certainly, step above the usual, like, I want to shout out Global. Thank you. Yeah. Shout out my friend Mike.
I don't know. I mean, listen, Jay is a theater director. There's a chance he could have done like a clowning-esque performance a la Britney with rapping, but they do choose to highlight some like very noble causes. So I do appreciate that respect. So clowning would have been fairly entertaining in its own right as well.
Mm. Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't try for a rap.
Yeah, Mike, you never did get to comment, and we really wanted it on the alien nipples.
Oh yes, oh my goodness, I was so intrigued by this. Like, I guess let's talk about stigmas again. People are able to walk around shirtless all the time, particularly men in the Big Brother house. Like, why not have Jay walk around? But also be able to create a little bit of privacy by covering up those loonies and toonies, if you get my drift, you know. And the aliens, I think it's fantastic branding. I'm not sure if they possibly did their own cricket work on it, or if that's vinyl, or if that's something plastic. I'm not sure what the adhesion tactic is. I do have to say, I guess if I were to choose an outfit for a veto ceremony in which I knew that basically I was screwed and that someone would be nominated next to me and the other person would say, I too would wear essentially like a fishing net and aliens over my nipples. That's just me. But I think essentially Jay was able to reach into my own mind and create the perfect ensemble. I want to steal that look.
You would have worn a diaper, though. Like, we know this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have been just, I would have been like, you know, peeing myself all over the floor. I wouldn't need to. I wouldn't need to go to the bathroom because Betty would have scared me. So I would have.
Hey, Marty, I'm going to take the longer path, not the shorter path, and I'm going to leave a trail behind.
Exactly. You'll know where I've gone, Marty. Don't slip in it, Ica.
Oh, no. Oh my God, I hate this. I literally can't. I can only go so long. Yeah. All right, bye guys. Signing off.
Can your computer freeze up again?
Yeah. Oh, guys, my internet.
Oh, no. What happened?
Bye.
Oh, man.
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
Yeah.
I mean, Betty is trying to tell him that, right?
Yeah, that. Yeah. So we get to the vote, and as we sort of mentioned before, there are quite a few different signals going on. We've got your typical at this point now, the which is like let's be chill. Like this is ice in your veins, not fire in your veins. Like I'm putting out a fire. Like
it looks like they're doing heroin. Like someone needs to tell them. They're like
it's not great.
The production loves it, like, I guess. I don't know.
They need to be like, okay, either do it very subtly, just like touch it, or like, you know, maybe
no, it's fine, Melissa. By like week six, they have to do it in the webbing between their toes because their veins will have collapsed at that point.
Yeah, it'll be too much. It'll be too much. They'll have their arm amputated.
Well,
Requiem for a Dream type.
Too enthused about their alliances and evicting people. So
yeah,
they can't contain that.
Herman now has an even more extreme version where he's gonna stir the pot, knock the microphone over. So much.
Do you think he just stands outside the car dealership doing that? Is he his own wacky waving arm inflatable too, man? Like, come on, I got cars here. Beep beep. Come on.
Oh man,
people are just doing all this weird stuff. I'm just like, I don't know what half of these mean anymore. I don't even know.
Yeah,
what was with the washing of the hands that JC Lynn and Steph were doing?
This, I assume, is for the retreat alliance, the singles retreat alliance, which is Herman, Gino, Kyle, Stephanie, and Jace. And so they're doing this, but of course it's only the women because they're the side pieces here. The guys
nobody
are not loyal.
Learned from Fortress.
Right.
I just feel like it's like the odds of you looking dumb, like by being the only one who thinks that you're in this fake alliance or whatever, is too high. And I just wouldn't want to risk it. Like, I could just imagine myself being like, oh, look, it's me. Oh, and everyone else being like, yeah, we're not in that
alliance.
Wait,
are you indicating that your arm is you? This is
me?
No,
it's like, oh, look,
it's me. I'm right here.
I'm in here.
And, like, and everybody else is like, oh, yeah, that's not a thing. Ha, ha, ha. And everyone in the audience is watching you being like, oh, that's so sad. She thinks it's real. Oh, my God. That is not what you want. So the odds, like, yes, sure, it might be a real alliance and everyone might be doing the hand signal, but there's that chance that you look like an idiot and I wouldn't want to risk it.
I mean, I heard everyone found out that Major League Baseball was coming back today. So they were all doing like their third base coach signals of like steal home, run, steal your base.
Oh, has there like not been baseball since the pandemic? Is that why everyone's freaking out about it?
No, so it happened last year, but there was a lockout. There was some stall negotiations, and finally things settled down. One ceasefire happened in the world today between Major League Baseball, so things are back in that capacity.
Well, there you go. Yeah, we've basically reached the point of saturation where like more than half the house at this point are doing all kinds of different signals. I don't know what Kevin's doing with like. He's slithering.
I'm actually just going to slither through.
I love it. I love it so much. I just love like the Miss Mary Mac of it all. I want to see some. I want to see like Down Down Baby. I want to see everything happening. I want those. I want people to do that in the hallways while they're passing each other. Maybe they were not allowed to do those dances anymore, and so they're like, okay, we'll save it for the diary room.
Well, like the true
they still
flex.
Did them.
Yeah, they still did them. The true flex, right, would be to do all of the different signals that you're included in, right?
Like, yeah,
to be like, all right, all here lines. We go, Arisa. You ready? I vote to evict Betty.
You're like, guess what? Look who's in every single one.
Yeah.
Too many alliances.
Oh, is this track. Like the next step in the brain exploding meme, right? Like we had alliances are all named now, but now to make an alliance official, you need a hand signal that you do.
Mm, yeah. Important.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So in addition to that, we'd have two rogue votes here. Kyle and Herman are going to cast votes against Betty. Now, this is a situation where Jay specifically told Jess and Josh, who were two of the people that may have voted for them, not to vote to keep them, that they were fine with having it be unanimous. Instead, we had Kyle and Herman cast votes. You presume to frame people like Josh or Jess, or maybe just to cause chaos, maybe even to frame somebody like Moose, who people might assume would do this and not them. We've got some rogue voters here, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they choose to use this for, or like why they did this. It does seem likely that they probably were using it to frame people. I just feel like the whole like hanky vote thing is so risky, because I just feel like there is a chance that Jay is able to scrounge up a certain number of votes and then you throw a hanky vote. Oh, and then also someone else throws a hanky vote, which happened apparently today. Then you have two hanky votes on top of all the votes they already got. And it's like, oh, wait, that flips the tide. They're able to stay. I just feel like it's such a risky thing to do. Even if you think like, oh, it's going to be unanimous. I just think the risk is too high there. I mean, maybe I'm just super risk averse because I don't even want to do a hand signal. I don't want to do a hinky vote. Like, I don't know.
They're going
to
know I did it. They're going to know I did
just,
it in there.
It just feels like there's really no benefit to it all that much, because I feel like a lot of the time we've seen a hinky vote be thrown, it ends up getting revealed who did it after they've been pretending they didn't do it. And then they get, in trouble for lying. So I have not seen a hinky vote situation work out super well, really ever. Maybe they don't end up finding out about it, but then what? Like nothing really came of it. I don't know.
I'd love to have the numbers on this, because my feeling is that week two, the second vote, is by far the most likely vote to have hinky votes thrown. And I feel like if we look this up, it'll probably pan out that way.
I mean, that seems correct.
Right? It feels right. It feels like that's usually when it happens. Like they get through the first vote, they're like, okay, I know how to vote now. Everything happened the way it was supposed. Nobody else voted weird. Now we are a second vote. Okay. Well, maybe I can throw a little hinky vote in here. Mm-hmm. And we can have some fun. And then they do that and it either backfires on them and they get in trouble, or nothing happens and they're like, oh, that was pointless.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're less likely to do them again.
Yeah, exactly. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, what that means is week two, never tell your allies, don't bother voting for me. Just have everyone you can't be like, there might be some hinky votes. So just cast your vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. So to your point, though, Melissa, is the assumption that Herman and Kyle did not know the other person was doing it, or was it a coordinated effort to say, let's put two so that we can blame two people specifically?
It's hard to say, honestly. I don't know. I guess until we hear from them. But, I think Taryn makes a good point that like if you're on the block, like, and you can get some people to vote for you, like, don't ever give up and be like, you know what, just go ahead and vote with the house. Like, it's fine. Vote me out. Like, if you've got a few votes lined up, I mean, yeah, maybe it
bad for their game, like moving forward, if they voted against the House, and then that can be used against them. But for your game, I mean, you're going out the door anyway. Might as well be like, hey, no, please vote for me. I'm trying to get votes. Like, don't just give them an out, because there is a chance that you get a few hinky votes in there and then you can stay.
Yeah, yeah. Even take the sympathy votes if you can. It's like, vote for me. Make me feel better. Like, it'll help. And then that plus those hinky votes, maybe that could do something. I don't know.
I wondered if anyone's ever done that. I can't think of any situation where that actually worked out. I think there's been a few where people have tried, where but it's like they try and get – it's like sympathy vote from everybody, and then it's
Have tried. It's never actually happened. I think in Big Brother 20, JC orchestrated like a fake version of it, where like after the fact he was like, "Oh no, it's like the sympathy votes and the hinky votes just happened to mess it up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't orchestrated at all. It just was an accident." And kind of got away with it, but it's never actually happened that way.
Someday that would be pretty great. One of these days someone's gonna figure out how to do it.
It's like when you're an imposter in Among Us, like, just, you might as well just vote with your guy, with your partner. It's why not? You never know what might happen. My guess is that this was not coordinated. I think that I think they both just kind of came to the idea that let's just stir the pot.
They're bored, they happens. Need something to do.
Well, I think, Armand seems like, Mr. Billion Hand Signals seems like he wanted to do it. And Kyle, listen, I have not been following the season incredibly closely when it comes to feeds and stuff, but my impression is he's a little big for his britches. And so I would imagine that he's saying like, oh, I could pull this off. I can absolutely do this. When I found out what a hinky vote was 365 days ago, I knew I'd be able to do one inside the Big Brother house.
And now look, who's HOH?
Yeah.
So well,
turned out okay for Kyle.
Well, so we see Jay is evicted by a vote of 10-2, and they are going to another Big Brother first walk out on their hands.
I also like that Arissa stopped the weird, like, poetic thing she did last week of one of you has received 14 votes. The other one has received not that number if you do the math. Like, just the odd iambic pentameter.
12 people entered the diary room to cast a vote, which makes 12 total votes, 10 of which went toward one of you. That person is Jay, who is in fact evicted from the Big Brother Canada 10 house, which means that Betty received 2 votes, and that means that she is safe in the Big Brother. Okay.
Too much.
if Perd Hapley was a Big Brother host from Parks and Rec, that's exactly what, and he would also similarly like only have a one question interview, because the entire question would be like, I noticed that you were a house guest in the Big Brother house, which is indeed a structure. Talk to me about that structure. What the roofs and rooms that it represents as a house. And then it cuts a commercial.
Yeah, so we get a very quick interview with Arissa.
It was really fast. I feel like it was too fast, because I feel that I would have been interested to hear why they were like, I knew it, or whatever, after she revealed the two of them.
I just always say that.
I know, I love but like, that. I would have been interested to hear like why they thought that. Like, why
I'm sure they would
have.
I had a feeling. I'm great at reading people. I definitely knew. Just
no, but not why you was, know. Though, but like, why do you think they did that? Why do you think they voted? And then he's like, oh, it's like a hinky thing, or maybe they're like, oh, it's because I talked to them last minute, or you know what I mean? Like, it would have been interesting to hear a little more. I don't know.
Well, it's really a save it for TikTok, though, right? Like, and I don't think they advertise it, but they are clearly being like, well, listen, we can do an extended interview later on for like the deep, deep fans that really want to see it. I'll ask the most important question here and then move on, which sucks as a journalist. Like, I would like to know a good amount of information leaving the house. I agree. But I did love it was peak comedy for me of Arissa. Do you know who those two votes were? Jay, I've absolutely no idea. Oh, it was Colin Armand. Knew it.
I knew it.
100%.
I knew it the whole time.
I think I kind of like the faster exit interview for the episode. I feel like there's plenty of, we do have the extended interview on TikTok. I will be conducting an interview with Jay tomorrow. So there's plenty of interview content out there if you want it. I feel like on the episode, we very rarely get anything super interesting anyway. when, you know, when I go back and rewatch Big Brother seasons, when I get to the interview part, I'm always like, all right, let's get through this. So I'm okay with it being faster, especially if it means that we actually get an HOH competition. So, I would love for that to continue.
I do love HOH comps and eviction episodes. Yeah. So.
But we also did miss the goodbye messages, and I do like the goodbye messages. I wish we had those.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I like those.
Straight off.
Have they done any? I know we've only done two. Have they done any this season at all?
Not yet, no.
Interesting. Is it just too many people that gets
well? The first one was in an episode that was like 15 things packed into one episode. Mm-hmm.
That's so true. They make a lot of references to like, Melina, remember on day 4 when we had this conversation? Like, you can't reference things that people don't understand. But yeah, I mean, the other thing as well is, look, to be completely candid, because we're on a Big Brother Canada podcast, so Julie Chen Moonves isn't listening. 70% of the enjoyment from the Big Brother US interviews come from what is Julie Chen Moonves going to do with this person? Yeah, exactly. Like, whether it's that or calling Claire a child of God, getting Brett's name wrong in Big Brother 20. Like, that's, I think, is the main honest appeal of the eviction episodes of Big Brother US. When that factor is missing from BB Can, like, it's ironic that Arissa, in my opinion, is a much more polished and generally like more fluid and exciting host, but it comes with the downside of like, well, you're so good at what you do that means we're not missing out on like anything huge coming from
there's no train wreck here. That's just it's just a train going by.
It's a train.
I'm the opposite. Because I don't like Julie's interviews because I feel like we get nothing because she doesn't really know the goings on in the house. So I feel like she just doesn't really, get any information out that I'm interested in. Whereas, and plus, like, yeah, the train wreck ability of it, don't love that. But then, Arissa, like, she knows what's going on in the house. And so I feel like she can ask pointed questions where it's like, stuff that we want to know. I mean, obviously, like, exit interviews after the fact, they can ask that as well. But it is kind of nice to see them answer these types of questions immediately after being evicted, because then you get like these initial impressions, and then, it can change obviously, but like between then and then the actual like press interviews. But I just feel like I love having Arissa there to ask those types of questions of them right away. I don't know. I just really enjoy Arissa as like interviewing the people outside of the house, and to only be able to ask like two questions is kind of like, okay.
Yeah. And even though we didn't get necessarily a long interview, I feel like we did get a lot from Jay in this episode. And I feel like they were able to express what was truly important to them, like throughout the game. So, I think from like the smudging to mentioning International Women's Day and acknowledging, trans and non-binary and queer people, and then also mentioning how DEI is like a huge important thing to them in their work. I think we definitely got like a lot of content in that way. So I think maybe that's kind of why it was like, we did it really quickly. We're going to move on in this situation. At least we kind of got that sort of content as they were leaving.
Well, that's the thing as well, is that this benefits from the fact that it is pre-taped, right? It's not live. So they're able to like really cut things together pretty seamlessly, so that if somebody doesn't have programming in their ear, as an example, we don't like hold up a competition for 30 seconds. Let me ask another question, because, now we are a season plus removed from this. Are we missing the live audiences for evictions? I'm not.
I'm really not. Mm-mm. I love the vibe without the audience, and I love that there's no spoilers for the episodes. There's a lot to like about no audience for me.
Yeah. It's tough. Go ahead, Melissa.
I don't mind it. No, I mean, I don't even notice anymore. So I'm fine with no audience.
Yeah, I don't feel like the audience added too much for me personally, so I'm completely fine without it.
Yeah, I think I could understand from a house guest perspective, like I would like to come up to like a raucous, rollicking audience of people personally, than just like the host standing there giving me an air hug. At the same time, I will admit I never loved the live audiences on Big Brother Canada, because something that like broke my brain all the way back in like season 2 is they would pipe in audience noise, and they'd pipe in like playground noises. They pipe in like 5-year-old kids going like, "Woo!" And I guess it's trying to simulate energy, but all I could hear was that we were suddenly, they took like the wrong ADR from they put the wrong tape into the cassette player for the sound effects. And so it's something that always took me out of it, of, okay, you have an audience and you also have to pipe in sounds as well. It was something that plus everything that happened, right, with like the Netta, you know, boot.
Yes, I hated that.
How they were sort of got hinted at the audience as to like, oh, who does Canada not like that? I think we're fine keeping things separated for a little bit.
That was horrible. And so I'm absolutely fine with no audience. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, and I also just in general, I feel like the audience makes it feel like more of a circus, more of like less of an isolated social game, and more of like a reality, like a regular reality show, you know, like a game show, which maybe would be what they're going for this season, but I prefer the no audience. Yeah,
the greatest game show.
I do still, I feel like we would have had a great goodbye message from Kevin this week that I think we really would have missed. I think he would have said,
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
Would have been a great goodbye message.
I mean, could they just clip out his, could they say we have one goodbye message and it's just a clip from that confessional played? Like, well, that's all we got, Jay.
I'm a bad boy.
That's all you get, Jay. That's your parting gift. Get sleeping with that kink in your head.
Well, let's get to my favorite part of the episode. When Arissa said, we will find out the HOH winner tonight, I was like, all right, you have me. I don't care. Like, nothing else matters. This fulfills your you need to tune in tonight, because I'm so happy that we actually got to see an HOH competition live on the eviction night. It's such a big part. Like, the eviction nights are so dry without an HOH competition, because that's the important part. That's what everyone's been waiting for so long. And to get to watch it play out live and you like have the tension of it, so, so much better. And it also means that we don't have to sit through 20 minutes of it on Monday. So it's like, I'm so happy that we got this. Now, again, like the results, take or leave. But I'm so happy that we got to see this play out. I mean, it would have been way worse to watch 20 minutes of this on Monday, for sure. Okay. Especially with the result.
And that's the thing as well, is doing it on the quote-unquote live episode also means that you can't do mid-challenge commentary, which is always the thing that drags it out much more of like, so my goal is to slide on my belly until I get to the number 24. And that's my strategy for this competition. Like, that times what, 14, however many people we had competing, it's tough to do. So yeah, for many reasons, I do think that was one of like my major sticking points with very relatively few I have with Big Brother Canada, was the vast majority of the time when they would start something, right? When like maybe another season, three people would go and Arissa would be like, all right, we'll see the rest of them on Monday night. And you're like, but why did you start it then? Don't tease
just
us
so we
that.
Can watch them go again on Monday, like see the same content.
I definitely feel like with eviction episodes, especially when most of us know probably who's going to be evicted, we need something else. So I was definitely very happy about that, having the HOH.
And man, what a roller coaster of an HOH, where initially we see Gino up in the lead for a little while, and then Jace ends up tying Gino for the lead, and the two of them up there, and it's like, oh boy, look at the showmance. Look at what's going on here. And then out of nowhere, Josh comes in and he gets a 23, and there's only one score that's higher than 23. It only goes up to 24, and I was on stream like, all right, Josh, let's do something in the game for the first time. Like, I'm ready to go. What is Josh going to do? We cut the commercial. I'm like, wow, what would Josh do? I mean, he could really do anything. He's a wild card here. Like, there are so many possibilities. I'm finally going to get to see him play. And we come back, and it's like, all right, how many people left? Oh, six people left. Oh, man, that's a lot of people. I don't know about this. I'm worried. And then, of course, it's Kyle going to come in. He's going. He's still going. I'm like, not Kyle. Anybody but Kyle. Kyle is going to be the most straightforward HOH. Come on, not. And then he lands on the 24. And I was just like, damn it.
I really thought there was no chance. I mean, after Josh got a 23, I was like, there's absolutely no way. No way. I thought the game's over. We can go home. Pack it in. Like, Josh is HOH. And yeah. Kyle comes in, 24.
But then it all comes down to Business B.
This is Business B. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know. It's like putting all your hope of like saving the world upon an ant. All right, you can do this, ant. Yeah,
she just slides right off.
Ants are very strong.
Ants are very strong, but I don't know if I want to put saving the world in the hands of an ant, personally.
She's close, but fell over.
She's a great push. She's going. I'm like, I don't know. And then it's getting closer and closer. I'm like, oh, maybe. Yes. Damn it.
Yeah. Just, nope. Bloop. Yeah. I really thought that it was like, oh, maybe. At first I was like, no way. There's no way. And then it was like, okay. Nope.
Yeah. So Kyle Moore,
I feel like this
is,
isn't a great move for Kyle to be HOH right now. I feel like he's already out there in front. Like people are already looking at him. And then, I mean, it could go either way. I think either he plays this well and he solidifies his alliances, or he gets HOH-itis and people say, this guy's too strong. This guy's too out in front. Yeah. We need to get him.
I mean, I can very easily see this. I mean, this is like the classic. This is the move that Derek wins a crapshoot HOH early on in the season. Take out a house consensus target. Very easy reign. Yep. No drama. Everyone sees him as reliable. He helps solidify a structure that benefits him. Like, that's what he should be doing. Mm-hmm. The difference is that Kyle is not Derek, and we have seen some cracks here. And I think that, you know, while Kyle is probably the pick for like potentially the most straightforward HOH possible, we already know what he's thinking in terms of who he's going to target. And let me tell you, it's pretty straightforward. It's not even spoilers. It's what happens. It's what he has been talking about prior to him winning.
Who is it?
This is business B. Let's get it.
The person that was already on the block is
I think that's consensus. An easy one too. Yeah.
Who he did happen to vote to evict this past time.
And so I
saw in the chat that he already told her that he voted to evict her.
That's a little spoiler maybe, but I don't know what's going on there.
The reason why like winning HOH early is so key is that there are enough outsiders at this point. Because yes, Kyle does have his hands in a lot of baskets at this point, but like there are your Jesses, right? Your Bettys that you could very easily go for without feeling too much like, oh, this is going to incur the wrath of all the many allies I have in the game.
Right.
Yes. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I feel like if you get to a point where you're in mid game and you have all these promises and all these alliances, it's kind of going to be harder to kind of show your loyalty to those people. So you're going to have to break those bonds. So it's definitely easier to be HOH definitely earlier.
Yeah, that's a really difficult thread that Andy was able to do at what, like the final nine, when he was literally in an alliance with like everybody except Jesse. And he's like, I guess I'll go for Jesse and hope she doesn't win the veto. And he was able to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned this on the update earlier today from yesterday. Kyle has been talking a lot about how Betty is definitely a nomination for him, and he has also been thinking about Jess as a potential nomination or target. So the two of them are very likely going to see some action this week. We'll see if the twist, which we'll talk about soon, will impact that as well. I think, again, in terms of straightforwardness, Kyle probably pretty up there in terms of like the most straightforward HOH win. However, I think the thing to look out for this week, if we're looking for excitement, is will he play this well? Will he be the Derek and, you know, keep the train rolling with no drama? Will he be the Arissa interview, or will he be the Julie Chen interview? And will he be like, what about this idea? Like,
I love it.
But will he screw this up somehow? Is kind of the thing to look out for. My guess is no, to be honest. I feel like it's a pretty easy ride and there's no reason to mess this up, but there was also no reason to mess up last week and he kind of did a little bit. So we'll see where it goes. One thing that could definitely throw a wrench into his plans, though, is what I mentioned before. There is a new twist, and it's not really a new twist. It's kind of an old twist. It's kind of like it's really like the oldest twist for Big Brother Canada. They really opened on this one.
Oh yeah, back during the days of the Chevrolet Power Drive.
Exactly. Canada's vote. Canada is going to vote to protect somebody. This is what it says on the promo page. It says, help protect a house guest from all the rest. Shields up. Eviction?
Oh, no.
Not today. On Big Brother Canada, there are many ways to escape eviction. Is there a house guest who you think could use a little help avoiding the hook? A dark horse that has a bright future?
What?
Vote now for the house guest you'd like to receive the Bel Air Direct Eviction Protection Insurance.
Was Bel Air Direct... Did they write this copy?
Yeah, who wrote that?
I think Bel Air Direct must have written it, being like, I don't know anything about Big Brother, but let's just say a bunch of words.
Whoever it was, like this Don Draper on cocaine, came up with seven taglines, said, okay, pick one, but they didn't get the message and use them all.
Just go, yeah. use a
dark horse.
How does that really connect to saving
and getting
someone?
The hook?
This is the like five different hand gestures in the diary room while they're voting. The house guest with the most votes will be shielded from eviction for the next week. So what Arissa said is that you can vote for whoever you want as many times as you want. You can vote for multiple different people. I believe that is the case. It seems as though anyone can vote. I don't know if you need to be from Canada or look like you're from Canada. But you know, if you have the ability to, that's probably the safest way to make sure your vote is counted. We'll see where that goes. I did see that they tweeted out that the vote is going to close, I believe, at 2 p.m. Eastern on Friday, which is of course tomorrow. So the vote is going to be overnight. And then I assume they'll find out before the nomination ceremony, or it might be a thing where, like, if they try to nominate them, they're like, actually, I've got Bel Air insurance. Like,
here's the hook.
I'm a bright horse with a dark future.
I'm a bright horse now, Kyle.
Yeah.
I do like the twist. I do think it's an interesting. You know,
this has never not backfired. It always gets the more popular player evicted every time. So we'll see what happens with this. I presume since Betty is the more locked in nomination, Betty seems like the lock pick for, okay, save Betty, ruin Kyle's plans. But that probably just means that either Josh or Jess is evicted. Which I feel like most people would be like, oh, wait a minute. No.
Oh, yeah. This is a real Ryan Ballantyne situation all over again, right? Of like, oh, we got the big edit for the other nominee. Let's save them. Wait, what happened?
Yeah. So really what I would suggest to anybody, because I do feel like, you know, what is the casual audience going to vote? They're not going to be super focused. I don't think they know who Kyle is going to target, because we didn't see the Kyle and Jay interaction. We'd have no idea what Kyle thinks of Betty on the episode. So, you know, for all the audience knows, you know, Kyle will go after, you know, Marty or something. Like, they don't know, right? I don't think they're going to know who to vote for. They're just going to vote for their favorite. And that's probably going to be spread out all over the place. So I do think there's a good chance that the feed audience, the super fan audience here, will have some influence over this vote. We say this every time and it's never correct, but you would think so, especially because you can vote as many times as you want over the course of one night. So my suggestion would be, if you want to, have an impact or protect a person that you like, I would say between Jess, Betty, and maybe even Josh, but I would say less likely Josh, primarily between Jess and Betty, but maybe Josh and maybe even Kevin, but less likely still, pick one and just vote for them, because I would say those are the most likely options for potential targets. And do not blame me if something goes completely awry and somebody else gets targeted, because look, it's the twist. It's not me.
All right. So I'm looking on the Big Brother Canada Facebook page at the moment. I have ventured into the swamp for the sake of this podcast. Ooh. There are only 22 comments, but I'm seeing a save Jess. I'm seeing a save Marty with 5 likes. I'm seeing another save Marty with 3 likes. Another save Marty. A save
Look
Josh.
At this.
A voting for Jess. A voting for Jess. And then somebody coming into a big monologue about, you know, if you're voting Marty, don't complain about a boring season. So there's a chance we might get some Marty safety.
Imagine if Marty got safety.
People are worried about Marty because of that HOH.
Oh, man. So, I really just threw that out there as like, literally, he's the only other person we've seen in the episodes. And turns out that is sometimes all it takes. So we'll see what happens here. I think there might be enough casual audience that goes for Jess. There might be enough, online support for Jess. You know, maybe Jess can get it. I think Jess probably needs it. If Jess goes up on the block, Jess could easily end up going out. If you're looking at Jess versus Betty and Jess is already on the block, even if your original target was Betty, it's like, are you really going to take out Jess over Betty at that point? I don't know. Are you, sorry, you really take a Betty over Jess at that point? Like, I don't know. Probably flip at that point. So it's an interesting call here. And then you do have, and I would even be a little bit concerned about a player like I said, Kevin or even Alina. You know, it's a dangerous position to be in when you have a lot of individual relationships. The reason Jess is in hot water with Kyle right now is because he found out that the relationship he had with Jess was multiplied all over the place. That Jess had a lot of those, which is exactly Helena's position. And if Helena gets caught in that, I could see Helena getting into some trouble because Kyle really has no incentive to, upend any of his alliances. So even players like Josh, even players like Stephanie, some of these outside players that you could, I think a lot of other people might expect him to take a shot at. There's not really a reason to for him because he's got the retreat. He's got the Savage Seven. And if he nominates any one of those, then those people will probably blow up those alliances. There are enough people outside of those alliances, and those people consist of Betty, Kevin, Jess, and Helena. So those are the four people that are really out there. But again, who knows what Kyle will do, especially if one person is immune. That might change up his whole plan. So we'll see.
Yeah, it is interesting because I'm assuming nominations are happening tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, I mean, they could easily do a thing where like during the nomination ceremony, the screen flashes. It's like one person received this, or they could do, hey, here's the reveal, go back and reconvene and then make your nominations. Either way, it might throw a wrench into things. But again, there are so many free radicals out there from Kyle's perspective that I don't know how much that apple cart will be upset, right? There might be a bump in the road, but like it's relatively probably going to get to its location unless Kyle decides to tip over apples and start selling oranges and is like, all right, time to backdoor Moose. I'm sick of his stuff. I'm going to get rid of him.
Yeah. So, if you want to wait even like that, I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. If you want to wait and figure out like who's in the most danger, what the plan would be, what the contingency plan would be, we'll probably know more by later tonight. I don't think there's really enough content for even like a spoiler section yet because I don't think Kyle has really had any conversations that have locked in what his plans would be yet anyway. Tune in tomorrow morning for the update and we'll see if we have an idea of where things will go. And then you'll have a little bit of time to pump as many votes in as possible to try to get your desired result to happen. But I expect based on history that no matter what happens, it will backfire.
It will be bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else we should talk about tonight?
Yes. I think, listen, can we kai about something other than Big Brother Canada for a second? Can we talk about a rumored cast that was released?
Ooh. Yes. Okay. We're talking some challenge.
Let's talk some challenge. Well, first, we should also say X on the Beach. Actually, this is Big Brother Canada appropriate. Is coming out March 31st, featuring Davon, three-time Big Brother contestant, featuring the aforementioned Jamar, and I believe Min Lee is also going to make an appearance.
Oh my God!
I think also Kat Dunn might also be making an appearance as well. So if you are a Big Brother fan, be sure to check that out. But I think from a competition aspect, the bigger piece of tea, I don't think tea comes in pieces, is coming from the challenge where we know that we're doing like these spinoff shows, right? It's Challenge War of the World. Pretend we didn't use that title before, where they're doing versions in the US, UK, I believe Australia and Argentina. And then they're sort of doing like the winners of that end up participating in this big, ceremony, global best of the best celebration. And a cast has been leaked, courtesy of a very reliable source when it comes to challenge spoilers. And there are a hefty number of Big Brother people on here. Some make sense. Some I flat out laughed at when I read their name.
Should we go through the list?
Yeah, let's go through the list here. I can read them out here. I'll read out the Big Brother ones. There are Survivor ones, and there are a hell of a lot of Love Island ones. So if you're into that, you can check out the list. That might be applicable there. But I'll go in alphabetical order here with the women. Alyssa Lopez from Big Brother 23. Angela Rummins from Big Brother 20, which I find very interesting, considering everything that happened with Tyler in Big Brother 22. I guess this is a different kettle of fish, but I do find it interesting that Angela was willing to go on to this. Azza is also coming back from Big Brother 23. Jingle those bells, people. Those aren't wedding bells. Christmas Abbott is back to take on the challenge. Watch out, feet lovers everywhere. Here she comes. Let's see. Skip past. Several Love Island people. Some fantastic
Survivor players.
Tiffany Mitchell from BB23.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Overall, I will say, spoiler alert, I believe 4 out of the 6 members of the cookout were cast on this. We have David Alexander from Big Brother 21.
Who put me on this cast? Who did it?
Who did this?
I just want to say thank you to whoever did it.
Yeah, if there's any challenges that take place in a dark room, I do feel bad for David. Ooh, Derek X is going to be
Derek
on.
X.
Is the one that made me.
I love it.
So here is like my main takeaway.
So
the meow meow is going to be on the challenge. Enzo Palumbo.
I couldn't believe that. I saw that.
He's going to be on the challenge.
That will be interesting.
He's
going to snap in half. And I just don't know what his speech is going to be, you know, when he's trying to avoid being on the block.
I'm just trying to get more of that spritz of water. That's it.
You know me, I'm just Enzo. You know that's what's happening. We've got Kyland, of course, from BB23. Then we've got, I think one of the bigger surprises, Xavier. I think people were sort of, you know, he kind of gone off the grid a bit post BB23, especially compared to his cast members, but he has come back. Look, maybe him and Alyssa were linked up in some way to come back together. But yeah, so that's what I think. 6 or 5 members of BB23, a few people from Big Brother All-Stars coming into this cast. Big Brother makes up a good plurality of the number of people here. This is a wild group without even getting into like the Survivor, which is a very random poll, and the Love Island stuff and the One Amazing Racer. This is going to be a really interesting group, essentially, with such a big block from one season together.
Yeah, 10 Big Brother contestants, I believe, in total. Yeah. In addition to that, next week on the Taren Show, we'll be talking to Tyson. This is already recorded, but Tyson is also rumored to be on this cast. So interesting stuff. And Tyson's from Survivor, of course.
Yeah, I am interested in that. Like between him and, spoiler alert, like your Ben Dreebergen, your Sarah Lucina, Dom Abate, like a good amount of people up there, especially in Big Brother age comparatively doing it. So I think that also helps because the challenge is sort of a young man's game from a certain perspective. At least if there are 40-year-olds on the show, there are multiple 40-year-olds. So maybe Enzo is not completely doomed, I think, is the conclusion that I'm coming to.
Well, hopefully they have some pickleball challenges for Tyson.
That's true.
I'm super intrigued. I've checked out the challenge, obviously, in the past. I've done some watch parties for that on Twitch. But I usually kind of fall off because I'm not super invested in the cast all that often. So I'm excited. I mean, I feel like this is some fun stuff. I know a lot of people are like, oh, look at the people they picked. But I'm like, look at the people they picked. Look at all the Big Brother players. Like, whoa.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, if you watch all the CBS reality TV, I basically saw the whole list of rumored people. I'm like, I know every single person. So I will actually enjoy this season. And I've been watching a lot of the challenge seasons and challenge all-star seasons recently. So, CBS going into this new version or Paramount Plus should be quite interesting to see.
Yeah, I think something that will certainly help is, to your point, Taren, I can understand the fatigue. I certainly have experienced it. They are very long seasons. They are nearing 20 episodes, an hour and a half a piece. I would imagine with the people that they are bringing in, the fact that this is done domestically, it's going to be comparatively shorter. So that's the other thing as well, is that like, even if you're not completely into the cast, it'll be like, you know, maybe like a 6 to 10 week deal, and then it'll be done and you can move on with your life. But I'm really intrigued to see just what this group does. Like, I don't even want to say excitement. It's more intrigue. And
I like the possibility for the future of like who could end up on a cast, and if this is successful and they do more of these, like, you know, more Big Brother players, I think would be great to see. And if it's bad, then I just won't watch it. It's easy. This is just another opportunity to see people that you've invested a lot of time into if you've watched Big Brother. I think that's exciting. So I'm pumped.
Yeah. I've never watched the challenge, but you know, maybe I will. I guess I've watched it. I watched a Real World Road Rules challenge. Is that the same thing?
I mean, relatively. We'll see if the challenges more so embody that, right? Where it's like play pickup basketball, or more recently when it's like jump across flaming trucks and like down, I don't know, like cow testicles or something. Like, that's what the challenge is nowadays, of just,
oh wow.
It's, they call it they sincerely have branded themselves the fifth major sport. So they take themselves very, very seriously.
Oh, geez. Well, you know, I don't like watching the challenges on Big Brother or Survivor, so I don't know if I would love watching the challenge, but, you know, the cast is interesting for sure. I don't think I'll watch, but, you know, may I'll look on
watch
Twitter.
Their parties that they randomly have every episode.
Yeah, I'll see on Twitter, you know, people will talk about it, so I'm sure I'll be in the loop. That's good.
Yeah, you'll get all kinds of, I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of drama. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't
My
wait to
other
see
Ky- favorite part.
Excited to see Kylan's exit speech when he gets eliminated this time.
Oh boy. Oh boy. It's going to be,
I'm a bad boy.
That's what it's going to be.
I'm a bad boy. That's a good, good one.
Right. All right. Well,
that's not going to replace your whole like, hello, my good little subs thing that you, your line on that.
Speaking of challenge competitors.
You can't replace that. Yeah. Speaking of.
Well, I believe that is what we've got for you tonight. This is what happens when we got a live HOH comp. That's all you need. It's great stuff. Very exciting stuff. Very happy to have a good, I thought it was a good episode of Big Brother Canada. So, fun stuff. I did do a recap yesterday, last night with Grace for the Wednesday night episode. It was a little bite-sized recap. If you want to, hear our thoughts on that episode and you missed it, you can go back and check it out. I also recorded a Survivor Stockwatch podcast with Grace last night on the Survivor premiere. Very fun premiere. I thought it was very good. I was very excited. I thought the podcast was very fun as well. So make sure you check that out also over on YouTube or on the podcast feed. Come find me on Twitter or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching all these episodes live. I'm sure when, you know, this challenge thing starts, I'll probably watch that, as long as it's not airing at the same time as Big Brother, which is something that they do all the time.
It'll drop on Paramount Plus, so it'll be like probably like a 3 a.m. on Thursday. So yeah. You can do a nice
we'll find the time then.
Yeah, exactly.
So check that out. Check out my Raised by Wolves coverage with Josh and Grace over on Post Show Recaps, and come find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. Geneva, what have you got going on?
Well, Bridgerton is what I have going on Post Show Recaps. Had Mike's wife on an episode coming soon.
Mike,
maybe about a week.
What is this about a wife?
Taryn, when you entered this marriage with me, you knew I had many, many hosts that I court. Okay?
Oh boy. Oh God.
Is it funny? I literally thought about that the moment you proposed. I was like, but you know.
No, my wife is going to get a text being like, look at the stupid bit your husband did on this week's podcast. But she has gotten every single week for the past like 3 months. And now I just have to walk in the bedroom and she's like, hey, what calamity have you left our room in? In disarray. But Geneva, what is more romantic here, Gino and Jesse or the Duke and Daphne? Sorry, not Gino and Jesse, Gino and JC Lynn.
I would say the Duke and Daphne, but I feel like, I don't know, I don't feel like we have enough from Gino and JC Lynn for me to say that they're romantic. But even the Duke and Daphne, they have their issues. They don't communicate well. So that's something they need to work on. And if you want to hear more of my thoughts, yeah, you can definitely listen to that on post-show recaps. Yeah, I cover Bridgerton's season one currently with Kirsten, Sasha, and Sarah Carradine. And then season two will be dropping in late March. So stay tuned for those episodes and that content. And then you can find me on Twitter at Peace Love Jen. I tweet all about the reality TV I'm watching and other random things in life. And then I'm always occasionally on Silent Podcast, so you can find me there. And we are on, you know, Apple, Spotify, etc. So yeah, that's what I'm up to.
All right, Mike, what have you got going on?
Oh Lord, how much time do you have? let me also clarify, because this was pointed out in the chat, I was wrong. The CBS Challenge spinoffs are airing on CBS in the summer.
There
it won't air at the same time as Big Brother, but there's a chance it might do like, you know, a 9 p.m. Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I forgot they're going to do the final version on Paramount Plus, but they are airing on CBS over the summer. So in terms of reality television, as Taryn said, Survivor 42 is back. I had two really interesting exit interviews today. If you watch the Survivor 42 premiere, you have a lot of questions about what happened to Jackson Fox, as did I. And so Jackson was incredibly open with me about everything that happened with him. There's a lot of understandable confusion and emotions around everything that happened with him. And so I really do encourage people. Of course, I encourage people to check out my stuff always, but I really do encourage people to check out my piece with Jackson in particular, because I think it gives a very thorough explanation as to the timeline with everything that happened to this unprecedented exit. I also did talk with Zach. That was a great talk as well. So I'm doing all of that at parade.com. And then, of course, the B&B with Liana Boris is back. We have a double dose on this week with Asia Welch and Mary Kwiatkowski from the Love is Blind recap. That's going to be a little bit later in the week. It's going to be on Monday. So to supplement that, they're excited to announce that Liana and I are going to be taking over the RHAP Instagram account tomorrow night. What are we doing? God knows what. But this is sort of like a little bit of a promotion for some of our Survivor coverage. You know, there's so much Survivor stuff that goes on with all the various shows. So I think that's happening tomorrow night around like 8 o'clock or so. Who knows? Last time I was on the RHAP Instagram Live, I was shirtless and wore a buff as a tube top. So like, you know, roll of the dice. Let's see what happens next time. See what room I'm in tomorrow. And then over on post-show recaps, lots of things going on. Probably most pertinently tomorrow, season two of Upload, which is an Amazon show that was created by Greg Daniels of The Office. It's like a sci-fi comedy, not too unlike our own time, except with one exception. You can essentially, before you die, upload your consciousness to a virtual afterlife. It's a very fun show. I'm covering that with Jess Sterling. All releases at once, so we are doing one podcast a day, a week's worth of Upload. If you are into the show, not only is the show releasing tomorrow, but so is our podcast coverage. Outside of that, I just finished covering the X-Files in full with one of my many partners in life, my wife, Angela Bloom. We finished covering that. And Josh Wigler, one of my other partners, we are covering Down the Hatch, Lost. We're doing like a big countdown of Lost episodes as ranked by the fans. It's Josh's birthday tomorrow, so wish Josh Wigler a happy birthday if you have the means to do so. And we did a big old jam-packed celebration for him. So all that is happening. Oh, and next week starts Beyond the Edge, which is like the CBS new survival show. I am doing coverage of that, I believe. I'll be doing, I think, some exit press too. So look, CBS reality is being very plentiful right now, right? We just got a bunch of renewals. So I'm very happy to be, you know, talking about all this and talking about Big Brother Canada. I know it has been a season that not everyone is a fan of, but just the passion that happens with both its cast and the people behind it is something that is incredibly palpable with Big Brother Canada that doesn't happen all the time in US. So I'm happy to have the opportunity to come on and talk about this and watch more of it.
All right. Well, you can, of course, find Melissa at It's Melissa with three A's. And maybe also find her on my Twitch stream. We'll talk about Oscar movies soon or something. Yeah, we'll have some fun with that.
Very interested in
that. Did you watch all the Oscar-nominated movies from this year?
I did, except for, I think, two. I did not see Drive My Car, and I want to see that. I just haven't found a way to see it yet. And then,
I think it's on HBO Max.
I think it's on HBO,
Is it? Okay, I need to watch that.
Watch it.
And then I haven't seen Dune yet, mainly because I just,
I think,
like,
that's also on HBO Max.
Like, got myself to do that yet. I just can't yet. I don't know. I will watch it, but
it's,
I'm
so
just
good,
like,
Melissa. It's so good.
It is, do it, I want good to? I don't know. So yeah, I will. I will. But yes, once I watch those two, we should definitely talk about it, because I have
all right
thoughts.
She's got a lot of thoughts. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. I hope you had a good time, and we will see you in the next one.